Welcome to Minority Landlords Podcast, your manual to financial freedom. Are you looking to escape the 9-to-5 rat race? Do you want to earn passive income while building generational wealth for you and your family and don't know how to get started? Well, you're at the right place. Here at Minority Landlords, we're here to help educate minorities about real estate investing. And now your host, Pepe Amoti.
Hey, welcome to Minority Landlords Podcast. Literally, for those who are new here, we are the best Minority Landlords Podcast in the whole entire world. Seriously, no kidding. Just Google it and there you'll find your receipt. Yes, we are the top. I know journalists usually tend to say stuff like this as a gimmick to grab people's attention, but in our case, it is a gimmick kind of, and at the same time, not, since there's a receipt for it out there. Anyways, and also in addition, actually, to being the number one Minority Landlords podcast in the whole entire world, I think we are among the best overall landlord podcast out there. If you Google, you'll find it too. Anyways, folks, you gotta believe in your dreams, you gotta believe in yourself, you gotta believe in your craft, or else no one will, right? Anyways, show pumping aside, thank you guys for being here for the 51st episode of Minority Landlords podcast. And again, my apologies. Like I said, this gets filmed in the middle of Boston. And right now it's almost rush hour. So if you hear some weird noises and sounds and cars and whatnot, my apologies. I'll try my best editing them, but I don't do too crazy editing. So I guess we'll have to deal with it. But today's episode will be talking about how you folks can increase cash flow of your rental properties. Before further ado, this episode is brought to you by, you know what, Pathfinder.io. Pathfinder is a revolutionary mobile app designed to streamline the rental application process for both landlords and prospective tenants. And using cutting-edge technology, Pathfinder actually matches landlords and their properties with possible renters. Like the dating app Tinder that we all know about, the matching process is based on the information provided by both parties, and thus can help both landlords and prospective renters save money, time, and reduce the frustration that we all feel when dealing with the tenant selection process. So go out there and check out Pathfinder.io for more information. And now back to today's topic. How can your investors increase your property's cash flow? Because at the end of the day, if your property isn't bringing you some sort of a return, then you are basically not investing and are basically wasting both your time and money, right? Self-explanatory. And if you're paying attention, you realize I said return and not cash flow, because I understand some people buy purely for that equity, others for cash flow. And then some people like me try to target both cash flow and equity as a determinant as to whether or not the deal makes sense. Anyways, today I'm going to talk about how you can increase cash flow for your rental property, which in return sometimes tend to increase the value of your investment as well in the equity end of things. These tips I'm going to provide are in spite of the location that you buy in. Whether it's a dusty, beat up location or a great location, these tips can actually help you folks to greatly increase the cash flow of your investment properties without having to spend a fortune like most people do. Also, I'd like to be clear and mention this. A lot of the times when people start thinking of maximizing their cash flow, they usually start thinking of putting the most expensive countertops, building a garage, and all these costly stuff. Quite frankly, that's not the way to go about it, because you will find yourself losing a lot of money in comparison to the rate at which you'll end up be increasing that rent, right? So increasing rent is one part of it, which I will talk about too at some other time. But there's also other ways I personally tackle deal stabilization and my process of maximizing cash flow throughout all my investments. So let's get at it. First areas I start investigating is where I can cut down expenses. Most people don't think about that. I usually bring out a contractor to see if there's any leaks in the toilets, sinks, shower heads, and such. Yes, I can do those myself, but it's worth paying someone that really know what they are looking for and what they are doing. And it also saves myself that time, since I value my time a lot. By having them check those and replacing leaky faucets, leaky toilets, and whatnot, you are more likely to start saving a lot of money on water, thus increasing your cash flow. So yeah, start with your expenses and see where you can cut them down. Start with those things that you can easily control. All right. The second expense I look at is the electric. The same thing I do. I get a contractor, an electrician, to check all exterior lighting. For those that pay for your tenants' indoor lighting, get a contractor to check indoor lighting as well to make sure that they are using energy efficient bulbs and whatnot. For hallways, carport lights, garage, and basically all outdoor lighting, I even go cheaper in the sense that I install motion sensor lights. Because remember, tenants won't give a damn about leaving those hallway lights on day in and day out. So it's up to you to become creative and implement a system that works for you, and that will help you cut costs as much as possible, thus helping you also increasing cash flow. The other third cost-cutting strategy is I look into who I have as a contractor. Personally, I prefer independent contractors that are insured and bonded rather than companies. So what do I mean? I'd rather have a trusted handyman who is insured and bonded than a full-blown company, because I know if I have toilet issues, the handyman or that independent contractor will probably charge me much less than that of, let's say, what are some big companies out there like Roto-Rooter, right? For example. Not throwing shade at Roto-Rooter, I use them a lot every time I've hit a dead end with my independent contractors, and I love how reliable they can be from my experience. But cost-wise, I try to stay away from them and use them as the last resort. So to save a ton of money and increase your cash flow when running a rental business, having a great independent contractor who will save you money, because they're more likely to save you money because they don't have that much overhead than big companies do, right? So it's just incredible. I know a lot of people are always worried about the liability aspect of hiring or building relationships with those handymans and whatnot. Hence why I said you have to ensure that they are insured and bonded. I can't tell you how many times companies have quoted me thousands of dollars and an independent contractor charged me less than half of that. Cutting this cost is probably the biggest, because it will help you cash flow much better. So my advice is look around for those folks in your communities. You might ask yourself, where can I find those folks? Ask fellow investors who they use. Check out your next door neighbor. Check out Craigslist. But one tip I'll give you guys is to make sure that you vet them well and make sure that they're insured and bonded, and you should be good to go. Also, just so I'm clear, this advice is for small issues that we landlords deal with all the time, such as toilet issues, renovating units after tenant move out, like those basic, you know, painting, doing flooring, basic heating issues and stuff like that. If it's a full-blown complicated renovation or a complicated issue, then it's better to spend the money and hire a company that specializes in that particular area. But for small stuff, get yourself a trusted local handyman and you will save yourself a lot of money and thus increase your cash flow by a lot. Because like we know, those companies charge a lot, because right, they have advertising costs, they have this and that, but small folks, those independent contractors, the handymans, they're not going to charge you that much money because they don't have that much overhead. So I highly recommend them if you can, and if you're willing to, you know, gamble on them. The other thing that can also help increase your cash flow is by making sure you have a great tax accountant that you will take advantage of all the tax breaks that you qualify for. You'd be surprised how many folks out there do not know how to properly file taxes, especially when it's involving investment rental properties. I had one that thought I was crazy to think that I can depreciate my assets, right? In spite of me telling him the entire IRS code on that, I literally pulled him out the IRS code from my phone and say, hey, yes, I can. And he still couldn't get it. So try not to go to those small tax individuals who mainly file for W-2 folks. Don't use TurboTax or H&R Block. My point is that you might have to spend some money to get a tax accountant that's used to real estate law and working with investors, and it will be way worth it. They are more likely to help you discover and take advantage of all the tax breaks that you're obligated to get. So saving on taxes is a huge thing. That's a big thing in real estate, and it can increase your cash flow by a lot. And you might be asking yourself, what are some ways you can increase your cash flow through taking advantage of your tax breaks? Number one, depreciation. Per IRS code, your property is always reducing in value. So make sure you get that break. Make sure that you get that tax break. Second is obviously deductions, right? Deduct everything that you can deduct, right? Obviously, legal stuff, don't deduct just for the sake of deducting, but anything that you can legally deduct, go ahead and deduct it. That will save you tons of money. And running a real estate business, as we know it, you have a tons of different expenses that you can deduct. And the third is capital gains, meaning that any profit you make can be subtracted from what you owe in your taxes. So make sure that you have a great tax accountant. Hire them, even if they'll cost a little bit more, but in the long run, they'll save you a lot of money. And now the last things I look at are the improvements to the property. For most people, this is their first go-to target. But for me, this is the last. So look at whether you can add some appliances, washer, dryer, and such small amenities. And make sure the floors look nice, paintings and such, you know, to name a few, so that your apartment actually looks pleasing for those folks that are coming to check it out. And now it's time for our mortgage market recap. For the week ending February 23rd, 2023, we saw the rate went up a little bit by 0.18%, leaving the 30-year fixed rate at 6.50%. In spite of the slight increase, like I said, we will be expecting this in the next few months or even most of 2023, really, with rates should be hovering at around the sixes. In spite of all these, the economy continues to show a great strength in spite of what most people think. Obviously, there's still inflation threats, but we are seeing some stabilization in the market for a bit. Some people think the economy is super horrible based on the recent layoffs that are making headlines from the tech space. But just remember, most of these are just restructuring that are happening. You know, most of these companies are just restructuring their organizations to a normal operation, since majority of them overhired during the height of COVID, and now they're realizing they do not need all these people. So there's other factors too, but this is one of the big ones too. So the economy is doing pretty okay overall based on the numbers. And we still have inflation as a threat, obviously. So we'll see how things goes. And now time for our weekly motivation. Today, I'll talk about this controversial figure that most people despise, but I personally do not have much issues with him. And that's Floyd Mayweather. Yes, I'm not a fan of the dude's lifestyle, but I love his fighting strategy. For those that are into boxing, you might have realized that this guy gets made fun of for running around the ring and somehow ending up winning. And people always call it cheating in spite of the guy being unbeaten until today. Really one of the greatest boxers in recent history if you look at it. Anyways, his fighting strategy is focused on speed, defense, and accuracy. He literally runs around the ring all the time and focuses on accuracy by taking his time, sweet time, while getting his opponents annoyed and frustrated for a while before he starts to deteriorate the person once the person starts getting tired. And he's literally used this strategy to win every game of boxing. That's different from other legends such as Muhammad Ali, who used to just start right away with major hits and punches until the opponent surrenders. The reason why I like Mayweather's strategy is because in life, if you look at it, it's taking the time and focusing on the accurate small steps that matters, really. People who take accurate small steps every day are the ones that end up winning. You don't need to start from 0 to 100 fast. No, you miss important steps. But rather, the people that win in life are those that become crazy successful, are those that take their time and take clever baby steps every single day, rather than taking a super huge step and missing or getting tired before the fight even begins. So today, I urge you all to take calculated baby steps in every single thing that you do. If you have a goal that you are working on, do something little every day and do it well. That can be researching, doing the most basic things. Really, whatever you can do to get yourself forward every single day. Don't worry about how long it will take you, but rather just stay focused on working towards it every single day and not missing a single step. Like I said, simplify the steps and do the bare minimum, but do it very well every single day. And at the end of the week, at the end of the year, at the end of the month, those daily small steps will lead to great, great distances and improvement towards whatever it is that you are working on. All right, folks, that's all I have for y'all. And until next time, stay hungry.
Thank you for listening to Minority Landlords Podcast. Please like and subscribe and leave us a rating on iTunes so that we can reach as many people as possible. We will appreciate it if you tell your friends and family, too, about the podcast. Also, visit us at MinorityLandlords.com.